I wonder this morning, have you ever played the game of what if? For example, what if in the 1600s, Isaac Newton wasn't sitting under an apple tree? I wonder how long it would have been before we discovered gravity. What if in the 9th century, an Ethiopian hadn't discovered the wine of the bean? How would many of us begin our mornings without coffee? I mean, what if in 1928, Alexander Fleming hadn't seen a halo effect around some mold he was growing? I wonder how long it would have been until he discovered penicillin. What if? Do you ever play the game of what if? Now you might say to me, Stephen, that's a kid's game. We don't play the game of what if. Well, I wonder if we play it more than we think. Now at times we might say, what if I hadn't said that to that person? What if I had chosen that job instead of the one I'm in? What if I hadn't been running late and sped? What if? You know, at times I think we play it more than we think. But today, I want us to play that game. I want us to play the game of what if. And I want us to take us back 2,000 years to the time of Jesus. And I want to ask the question, what if Jesus was not bodily raised from the dead? Now, do you notice there my question is fairly specific? I'm not asking just in general, was he raised from the dead? But I want to say today that biblically we need him to be bodily raised from the dead. So when you open the tomb is empty. Because a number of believers today will say, yes, yes, I believe in the resurrection. Today is Resurrection Sunday. I believe in that. Jesus was resurrected spiritually, not physically. So if you could find the tomb and open it, they would say his body is still there. That all we need is a spiritual resurrection. I want to suggest today that biblically we need the empty tomb, the bodily resurrection, because it is central to our faith. Now, this whole idea of what if, it's not me making it up. And as my daughter was sharing the Bible reading with you from 1 Corinthians 15, maybe you heard it there. In verse 14, Paul says this, and if Christ has not been raised, what if Christ was not resurrected? If Christ had not been raised? And then he goes through and he gives statements of what that would look like. Now, in verse 14, the next part of it, our preaching is useless. Well, why? Well, going back earlier into 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4 say this, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scripture. See, that's in general the basis of the gospel message, and I think all of us would agree. That's the good news of Jesus. That's what Easter is all about. But that message, our preaching, would be useless if Jesus stayed dead. You know, that whole comment, you know, Christ died for our sins. Yes. That he was buried. Good Friday. Yes. That he was raised on the third day. No. Our message would fall down. Our preaching, he says, would be useless. Because apart from the resurrection, Jesus would not conquer death. Death would be forever man's conqueror. Without the resurrection, the good news is bad news. There'd be nothing worth preaching. Without the resurrection, the gospel would be empty. It'd be a hopeless message. It'd be meaningless, nonsense even. Our preaching would be useless if Christ had not been risen from the dead. But more than that, the last part of verse 14 says this, and so is your faith. Our faith would be useless. Because if the message of our faith, if the foundation of our faith is the gospel, that we've been saved, that we have life, that we have victory over sin and death, and that one day we too will have new life when we're with God forever in heaven. If that is our faith, and Jesus did not rise from the dead, then it all falls apart. Our faith is useless because a dead Savior cannot give life. If the dead do not rise and Christ did not rise, that means we will not rise. So there will be no new life for us. If there's no resurrection, then we call Hebrews 11 the hall of the faithful, the roll call of the faithful ones. Instead, that would be the roll call of the foolish. All believers throughout the ages would have believed for nothing. They would have lived for nothing. They would have died for nothing if the resurrection didn't happen. Our preaching would be useless. Paul says our faith would be useless. And more than that, he says we're liars. I mean, look at verse 15. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses. We would lie about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. Now, if there is no such thing as a resurrection of the dead, if Jesus was not raised to life again, if the tomb is not empty, then everyone who witnessed Christ, the apostles, the 500 witnesses it talks about or more in 1 Corinthians 15, all of those people have lied. Sometimes people will say, oh, Stephen, it's not that they lied. It's just that they're mistaken. They're a little bit innocent. They're a little bit naive. Yes, they're pretty much honest people, but they just got it wrong. Well, no. Now, if they were willing to stand up and even to die to say that Jesus Christ was alive, that the tomb was empty, that he was raised to life, then they are just liars. They're not naive. It's not innocence. It's not a simple mistake. They're just liars. They're false witnesses. And could you imagine this? Think of this picture, though. 500 plus witnesses to Jesus being alive. Do you think they actually all got together, all 500 plus of them, and said, well, this is the story we're going to tell. Do you all agree? Okay, let's go tell it. No. The apostles, the prophets, the New Testament writers, they've all lied if it didn't happen. The heart of the gospel didn't happen if the tomb is not empty. And if the writers of the New Testament have lied on this, in a sense, if God has lied on this, because God says, I'm going to do this, and if he didn't do it, why would you believe anything in the Bible? Why would you believe in God at all if the tomb's not empty? Do you start to see how serious the what if question is? How important to our faith it is, to our salvation, that that tomb is empty, that there was a bodily resurrection of Christ. There's probably actually one thing that's worse than being called a liar. In verse 16 to 18, talks about it. The Apostle Paul says, you're not just liars, you're actually still dead in your sin. Let me read it to you. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sin. Then those who have also fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Paul says if Christ did not rise from the dead, then you're actually spiritually no better off than non-believers, because you're still dead in your sins as well. And it's interesting when you start to think about what Paul is saying here, because we often think that the most important part of our salvation is the cross, don't we? Good Friday, that Jesus died for us. And we often focus on the cross. We say he died for us, and all of that is true. But there's actually something that Paul was trying to get at here that's more important than Jesus dying on the cross. and that is that the tomb is empty. Yes, on Good Friday, the cross became empty as they put him in the tomb. But on Easter Sunday, we need that tomb to be empty. Paul says one of the greatest parts of your salvation, something that you should focus more on, is the resurrection. See, the story of our salvation, sometimes we might say, starts on Good Friday. It probably actually starts before creation, but it continues throughout history. But the great news is it doesn't end on Good Friday. Now, Good Friday is not the end of the story. And even today, Resurrection Sunday is not the end of the story. It's not the end of God's plan for salvation, because we know Jesus is coming back. But if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then sin won the victory over him. That for all of us, we're still under sin. We're still under the judgment of death. We're still under the judgment of being permanently away from God forever. We stay condemned as far as God is concerned if that tomb is not empty. In verse 18, Paul makes it abundantly clear. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Now, fallen asleep, it's a euphemism for death. He's saying if there is no resurrection from the dead, then everyone who has died is perished. And what goes along with that too is that from now on, if there's no resurrection of the dead, if that tomb is not empty, then everyone who dies will be dead and face God in judgment. And there's no way out. Paul summarizes it in verse 19. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. It's true, isn't it? If Christ was not raised from the dead, if the tomb is not empty, we are to be pitied. We're a joke. And all we deserve is pity. Without the resurrection, there's no Savior. There's no forgiveness. There's no good news. There's no gospel. There's no message of Easter. There's no meaningful faith. There's no life. There's no eternal life. There's no hope for the future without the resurrection. See, to put our faith in Christ, to teach, to preach, to suffer, to sacrifice, it's all for nothing if he was not raised to life again. If Christ is not raised to life, then he not only cannot help us in regard to eternal life, he cannot help us now. We'd have no support. We'd have no way on our earthly life to have God helping us if the tomb is still full and he was not resurrected. Now, the Christian life would be a mockery, a joke, a charade. I wonder if you've ever realized that. How much we need that tomb to be empty. But still people will say, and when we think about what it might mean for us, people say, but you just need a spiritual resurrection. Because a lot of people in our world today will say, oh, you can't have physical resurrections, so let's keep the faith going. Let's just say it's all spiritual. But let me ask you the question. How do you know that Christ was resurrected spiritually if there's no empty tomb? Because you can say, oh, Christ is spiritually risen. Great, prove it. How can you? We can't. Would you have your faith built on something you cannot prove? But an empty tomb, after God has promised that he would do this after 3 days, Christ be raised to life again, and we have an empty tomb. It says very clearly, very obviously, when the stone was rolled away, have a look, God keeps his promises. Christ is risen. We can have salvation. We can have forgiveness of sin. We can look forward to eternity with God. Why? Because the tomb is empty. A spiritual resurrection says we're still looking for the tomb and it's going to be full. So if it's not for the resurrection, the ministry of Jesus would have ended then and there. He would have just been looked at as another religious martyr that died. And he would have been forgotten long ago. If it didn't happen the way Scripture promised, then all of Scripture would have to be thrown out. There'd be no point in following God because God can't keep his promises. There'd be no point in following God if he can't have power to do things in our world. But we can know that he has done, that the tomb was empty, and that knowledge can set us free. Look at verse 20. One of the great words in 1 Corinthians 15, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Paul calls Jesus here the first fruits. And for those Jewish people listening to this, they would have understood that. In the Old Testament, before the Israelites could bring in their harvest, they would take the first part, the first fruits of their harvest, the best parts of their harvest, and they would take it to the temple and give it to the priests as an honor to go to God. And then after that, they had done that, then they could go out and finish the harvest. That's the image here. The fact that Jesus is the first fruits indicates that as he was resurrected, the rest of the harvest will now happen. That those who love and follow him one day will be harvested. And that they too will be raised to new life. His resurrection says to all of us that love and follow Jesus throughout history from that moment, that one day we too will be raised to new life. Paul says we can believe it, that it did happen. The empty tomb is proof of that. The eyewitnesses are proof of that. And that knowledge sets us free to live for Christ. See, we can know where we can be free from the power of sin, that we can be forgiven for it, that we can say no to sin each day. We can know that we're free. We don't have to face God's judgment anymore for our sin and disobeying him. We can know for certain that one day we will have the glory, be in glory with him. That we have the hope for the future that one day God will bring ultimate justice to our world. You know, we know that we can actually live for God every single day no matter what we face. Why? Because the tomb is empty. We have the resurrection. The Apostle Paul challenges us in 1 Corinthians to play the game of what if? But then he actually gives us the answer and says, well, actually, you don't need to play it because Christ is risen from the dead. So maybe more for us to think about today, the more important what if question for us is what if you have never made the choice to follow Jesus? Well, Scripture tells us that means eternal separation from God. But maybe already this morning you are a follower of Jesus and you've answered that what if question. Maybe another what if we can think about is what if we've never actually lived the way God wants? See, Scripture tells us that when we examine our lives, if we're not living the way God wants us to, then maybe we need to take a step back and see whether we truly have made the choice to follow God or not. What if? Or maybe today too you've answered that what if question. You know, you to the best of your abilities, you're trying to live for God. Well, what if God did care about sin? Well, the answer to that is we know he does care about sin. And if he does care about sin and we say we do want to follow him, then the obvious answer is we want to say no to sin. Do we do that? Maybe another what if question could be, well, what if God did care about the gospel going out into the world? Well, again, we know the answer to that. The answer is yes, he does care. Do we allow God to use us to be a part of that message? What if? See, one of the interesting things I find when you look at all the different religions in the world, Christianity, being a believer and follower of Jesus, is the easiest religion in the world to disprove. All you had to do in those first few days, first few weeks, first few years was to open the door to the tomb and produce the body of Christ. That immediately ends our faith. But it's never happened, has it? No body has ever turned up. No body will ever turn up until Jesus returns. We have a faith that has stood the ages. We have one true God whom we can love, follow. We gather here today as God's people who've made that choice. We gather together because of the empty tomb. What if? We don't have to ask the question, what if he was not raised? Because he was. This Easter, how have you responded to that message? This Easter, will we take that message and ask others, what if? Let me pray. Gracious Lord, we just thank you that the tomb was empty, that Jesus was raised to life again, conquering sin, conquering death. That gives us the assurance from the moment we put our faith in you, one day we will be in heaven with you. Yes, we keep living here until the day he returns or you take us home. But until then, you help us each day live for you through the Holy Spirit. Why? Because of the empty tomb. Father, we thank you for that today. Father, we pray that it's not just a message we remember at Easter, but it's a message that flows out of our life every day as we try to live your way. Lord, I pray that more people this Easter time will come to know you as their Lord and Savior. And we ask for this in your name. Amen.